This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, a new effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's been a long time since I've been this excited about a new natural medical innovation. Zona Plus is the real deal. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. To find out more, go to tryzona.com or call toll-free 1-888-408-6141. That's 1-888-408-6141 or tryzona.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. If you've heard part one of today's podcast on the subject of ketamine for mood disorders, you're as excited as I am because it has a very, very great potential, I believe, for helping people with stuck mental problems. And with us is one of the pioneers in this field, Dr. Steven Mandel. He's president and founder of Ketamine Clinics of Los Angeles. And Dr. Mandel, give us some information on how people can access that clinic, because you actually have a nice FAQ page, you know, frequently asked questions.
Oh, great. I would suggest then that people who are interested go to our website, which is ketamineclinics.com. That's K-E-T-A-M-I-N-E. Clinics with an S, clinics.com.
And there you'll get answers to frequently asked questions, such as, you know, many of which we're covering in this podcast. So, other conditions, I mean, we're talking about, you know, profound depression. We actually could categorize this as major depression, right? Because there's, you know, ordinary run-of-the-mill depression, but then there's major depression, which is very hard to treat. And it seems to work for that. But you mentioned treatment for PTSD. Now, PTSD is a big problem, not just among returning GIs. But do you foresee that this treatment could be incorporated, say, into the VA system with success? Because we're dealing with a lot of shattered lives.
We are dealing with a lot of shattered lives, Dr. Hoffman. And ketamine is amazing for PTSD. That's how it was originally discovered to be so effective in helping with mood disorders. And the VA has been extraordinarily resistant to trying it. But there is now a VA in the New England area, I think it's in Connecticut, that is, somebody there has gotten permission to actually do it, and they're running a clinic. And I really don't want to make somebody's phone ring off the hook unnecessarily. I don't know where they are in the process, but it's actually finally being tried. We also treat PTSD. Although you mentioned major depression, and that is correct. The other thing is patients with bipolar disorder who are not typically manic, but who are depressed. You know, manic depressive people can be manic a lot of the time. Many of them are depressed a lot of the time. Some of them are almost never manic. And these people benefit hugely.
Isn't it type 2 bipolar or something like that? The type,
yes,
where it's more depression predominant. In other words, they don't go on these wild flights of fancy and you know, seem like they're on speed and you know, do wild things. Much of the time they act like normal depressives, but it's a form of depression that's very hard to treat, and it's treated like bipolar.
You are correct. Yes. And these depressed bipolar patients do particularly well with ketamine. And, of course, the naive or inexperienced practitioner says, oh, my gosh, aren't you afraid you're going to tip them into mania?
Yeah.
And, you know, I was when I started out. We don't see that.
Okay.
They do get activated, but it's not the activation of mania. They don't spin their wheels. They actually become very effective.
So you mentioned in patients who attempted suicide or have suicidal ideation, that's a very serious life-threatening situation. That's like having a, you know, heart attack or cancer. You know, this, we'd say it's a mental disorder, but really it's a medical emergency. These patients can become candidates for ketamine, and is there some track record of success with them?
There's very little research. We have over 44,000 people just in the United States kill themselves every year. We have literally 120 or 122 people kill themselves every day, literally 7 days a week in this country, 22 of them service-connected. The response rate with ketamine is over 90%. Now, that's an outrageous statement to make. I acknowledge that it's outrageous, but we have people coming in who are depressed and suicidal. 90%+ of those people are relieved of their suicidal thinking. Even among those who don't get full relief from their depression, no longer wish to kill themselves. It's amazing, and it works within hours. It's a shame that everyone who is thinking of self-harm is not afforded the opportunity to try this treatment. It's life-saving.
And what about, it occurs to me that addictions might be amenable to this, alcoholism and or drug addiction. And is there any potential for this to help those folks?
Doctor, that's my third group of patients. People not for withdrawal, but after they've detoxed. Alcohol, opiates, to a lesser extent, stimulants like amphetamines and cocaine. They come because the ketamine infusions facilitate them resisting the cravings that inevitably occur post-withdrawal. It makes them make better, sharper choices. It makes them head off their own self-deceit. Because people who have recently withdrawn from these drugs, the biggest risk is that they will return to them because it's a big solution for them. Right. We call it drug abuse. But what it really is self-medication because they're suffering.
Well, these individuals...
And this gives them an alternative.
These individuals may be depressed to begin with, and that this is their form of alleviating their mental discomfort. And so that makes sense. Now, I did a little research on ketamine, and there's a company out there, an innovative biotech company, that, by the way, is doing some interesting work on CBD, cannabidiol, a marijuana derivative. It's called Axim... Biotech, and they're doing some research on application of ketamine to multiple sclerosis. Can you speak to that at all? You don't tout it for that, but what's the story on that?
Well, multiple sclerosis is a neurologic disorder. Ketamine promotes growth in mammalian brains, and the establishment of new connections and the reestablishment of atrophied old connections. So it's a natural to try to see if this can ameliorate the ravages of multiple sclerosis. I don't know their study. I have read just anecdotes about their study, and it's not yet been published. But I'm very hopeful that they will have good results.
And since depression is an aspect of MS, maybe it could to subjectively help patients as well as alter the organic process that causes their brains to deteriorate.
Good point, yes. I have many people who have patients who have chronic pain and depression. And even people who aren't initially depressed who get chronic pain become depressed very often. And even those whose pain is not permanently lifted are they're in much better mood. They have much better ability to actually experience pleasure in their lives. A hug starts to feel better. Food starts to taste better. Music starts to sound better. The sky starts to look really a more vivid blue. And they're happier. I had a patient who I infused for chronic pain, not for depression, who had 5 months relief from a migraine that had troubled her daily for over 7 years. Then she began to get headaches again. They weren't the same kind of spike behind the left eye headache, but she began to get helmet-like tension in her head. And she complained to a friend one day that she thought she was starting to get her headaches again. And she said, "Well, I'm sorry to hear that, but you know what? You're in so much better a mood, and you're so much nicer to be around." the ketamine really does affect people's personality quite favorably.
And so you actually see some patients whose primary her complaint is pain, refractory, say severe back pain, failed back surgery. Can it be used to alleviate that?
Well, we look at two different kinds of pain, if you will. Anatomic pain, such as from a failed back surgery, where the actual anatomy in the back is involved, and what we call complex regional pain syndrome, which used to be called the reflex sympathetic dystrophy.
Very hard.
Used to be called causalgia.
Very challenging condition.
Oh, very difficult.
Yeah.
When you see this, the our typical patient example is someone who has loses a limb, and they subsequently develop pain in that limb. Now, we know that limb is not there, but they have pain in it.
Phantom pain.
Really severe pain. And after you get over, exactly, phantom pain, and after you get over blaming the patient, they're malingering or it's da-da-da, you realize they are suffering. Sometimes you actually see skin changes and temperature changes in the stump. This is not an invented thing. This is suffering, and it's real, and it's central. And this central locus of pain responds very well to ketamine. Particularly early on, complex regional pain syndrome that's left untreated really becomes increasingly difficult to treat month by month.
Yeah.
It's very important. If you have complex regional pain syndrome, you seek treatment promptly. Your chances of getting well really are much better, and they decline precipitously with time.
Formerly known as reflex sympathetic dystrophy, but there's no fix for it. It's a devastating condition, and patients are often given oral medication. They try various blocks, as you know, nerve blocks, and most of them just don't do very much at all. It's just devastating. So that's really hopeful and exciting. So obviously this is a medication. So if you're coming into the clinic, the ketamine clinics of Los Angeles, say you're on an antidepressant, say you're on a pain medication, are there some contraindications? Do you have to wean off certain medications because ketamine doesn't mix favorably with certain medications?
Ketamine mixes okay with almost everything, with a couple of exceptions. There is a drug called lamotrigine, Lamictal, which is a
seizure medication.
Anti-seizure medicine
and
a mood stabilizer. There are very rare reports of the combination of ketamine with lamotrigine producing rare but very serious skin condition called Stevens-Johnson syndrome, which can be very serious. The other major problem is with monoamine oxidase inhibitors.
Yeah.
But the reality is very few practitioners are willing to prescribe them to anyone for any reason any longer. They're ancient drugs.
Yeah.
They do have a place. They do work very well for a handful of patients, but almost no one is on them today. And you know if you're on them because you've gotten enormous a long list of dietary restrictions. You can't have cheese, you can't have this, you can't have that, because it's likely to provoke something called serotonin syndrome if you're not very careful with your diet. Anyway, aside from the lamotrigine and the monoamine oxidase inhibitors, there's nothing that interferes. People used to think, and some people still do think, that benzodiazepines are a relative contraindication in that they may attenuate the good effect. They won't cause harm, but they may prevent benefit.
That would like that Xanax, those types of things, Xanax or Klonopin.
Valium, Librium.
Yeah.
Klonopin, exactly.
Yeah.
We find that moderate amounts of those do not have any adverse effect on the development of a beneficial response.
Okay. What is Nudexta? Nudexta is something that your clinic uses in conjunction with ketamine?
We do give Nudexta to some patients. Nudexta also operates via the glutamatergic system. It's approved for pseudobulbar affect. And those are people who laugh when everybody else laughs, but when everyone else stops, they're still laughing.
And yeah, they do commercials for that on TV now. Unusual medication, but yeah.
I'm not aware of that. Okay.
Yeah. Well, you just don't watch that much TV. Yeah, but you know, I see commercials for that on TV.
No, I don't.
It's such an unusual condition, but I guess it's an expensive drug. It makes it worthwhile for them to advertise.
Well, it's a very expensive drug, and it's not endearing to some practitioners because it's a combination, a fixed combination of two very inexpensive drugs. And it's hard to appreciate why it would be so much more than its components.
You know why?
They're also available.
Because it got approval for an orphan condition. And, you know, that's how you make money in the pharmaceutical industry. You know, the drugs themselves are cheap, but, you know, getting it past the FDA and getting an approval, that's how they earn their VIG as part of that process.
Yes, I think you're right. And I think it's very unfortunate because the components are available and they're cheap and they do benefit people. We don't use that much Nudexta because of any feelings about how it came to be, but because it doesn't have the effect that we would like it to have. Mm-hmm. Pseudobulbar affect is a very, very rare condition.
Yeah.
And this is an off-label use.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't mind off-label use. I'm using ketamine off-label.
Nor do I.
And actually, over 20% of all prescriptions written in the United States are written for off-label uses. More than one in five. However, it doesn't seem to work very well.
Okay.
For depression. It may be great for pseudobulbar affect, but pseudobulbar affect is not something that we see in our clinic.
Indeed. All right. The other question I was going to ask is, you know, since there's quite an overlap between pain syndromes and depression, in that we have literally millions of sufferers of fibromyalgia, do you have any thoughts as to whether patients suffering from severe treatment-resistant fibromyalgia might benefit from ketamine?
I must say, of the pain conditions that we see and treat, fibromyalgia has not an especially favorable response to ketamine.
Okay.
We see a lot of trigeminal neuralgia,
yeah,
migraine headaches, phantom limb pain, really, really, really good results.
And
fibromyalgia, not so good.
I think the distinction is that what you're talking about are really nerve pain syndromes, and fibromyalgia may be, you don't know, it certainly involves the brain, but it may also involve, you know, a systemic, perhaps a mitochondrial issue or, you know, any number of neurohormonal issues that sustain
right.
it. And it's not just like, you know, like a compressed nerve or something, or, you know, a nerve firing aberrantly, like in trigeminal neuralgia. So that's interesting.
Yes.
So, okay. So great. So what's today's Intelligent Medicine take-home message on the subject of ketamine? Where can people get more information, and what would you like to say to people out there?
They can go to ketamineclinics.com. They can call our telephone number. Am I allowed to say that?
Please, please.
Okay. It's 310-270-0625. And if you call that number or go to ketamineclinics.com, ketamineclinics.com, you'll find a way to reach us. You'll also find access to many articles, both popular press and scientific literature articles, that can help you to make a decision as to whether or not you want to reach out and try to end your suffering.
And one final question, and you know it's a painful question. We might need a little ketamine to administer this question. But is this covered by insurance? Is this recognized by conventional medicine? And is it is there big freight to bear for patients undertaking this therapy?
It is covered increasingly by insurance.
Okay.
Still a minority, and still the. What you get back is not nearly 100%. But month by month, we see more and more insurance companies agreeing that this is not an experimental treatment and that it is helping patients. And it's actually saving insurance companies money. One of the things if you want to gauge whether something is economically effective, is to see what the big HMOs are doing. And the Kaiser Foundation, for example, in Northern California, has just opened, I think, its sixth ketamine clinic to give patients infusions because they're actually saving money over conventional treatment.
Oh, that's exciting. So we're certainly
this
getting word out.
It's not a peripheral thing. When Kaiser is doing it, you know that it's pretty mainstream.
Indeed. Well, I want to congratulate you on being a real innovator and pioneer in your field and offering people a real avenue of hope for a condition that often goes poorly treated or inadequately treated, pain, PTSD, and severe mood disorders, including depression and bipolar disorder. It's exciting. That's why I wanted to share your information with our listeners, our Intelligent Medicine listeners. So thank you very much, Dr. Stephen Mandel. It's a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you, Dr. Hoffman. I'm very glad to be there and to be able to spread this. I really want people to know what their options are. They do not have to continue to suffer.
Thank you for joining us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.